And we're getting back to our study in Genesis after our little break last week. And this week, our focus is on this passage that we've heard several times from Genesis 1, verse 28. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Now, this is a loaded verse. First, mankind is blessed, commanded to be fruitful, to increase in number, to fill the earth, to subdue it, and then rule it. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds like a really good deal. I like being on top of the food chain, right? We're at the top of the pyramid here, guys. We're in charge. Now, this isn't the only blessing in the creation account in chapter 1. God did give a blessing to the fish and the birds. In verse 22, God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth." And what we see is a very subtle but very important detail. The blessing pronounced to the birds and the fish was simply and directly stated by God. It says, God blessed them and said. But in verse 28, we see that God blessed them and said to them. This is an important distinction between the two blessings. It may seem to be insignificant, but the fact that God said to them shows the relational difference between God and the animals compared to God and man. And being made in God's image allows for a man to have a different kind of relationship with God. Being made in God's image allows for man to receive these additional responsibilities and authority. And we really need to understand this great significance. That as image bearers, being made in the image of God, not only do we have additional responsibilities and authority, but as image bearers, we are to handle these responsibilities according to God's will and according to God's nature. We must consider what we do and how we do it, so that we live out the characteristics of God, right? God is loving. God is just. God is full of forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, benevolence, and gentleness, right? That is our God. That's how we're supposed to live, act, and rule. And this blessing from God cannot be overlooked. In our mindset today, we think of God's blessing simply as a transactional process. We think of it as God's favor. We want God's favor, so we do something we think God will like, hoping our action will make God give us something we want. But you see, it's not a transaction that we can initiate. It's not even a transaction, it's a state of being. You are either in the blessing of God or outside of the blessing of God. Too often we think personal success is a sign of being blessed. And there is a preacher down in Houston who has thousands, if not millions, of followers who are getting preached a false gospel of blessing that is not right. And we think that if someone has success in their career or has material possessions, we think that all is well and that God is happy with them. And that's not always the truth, because I know lots of ungodly people who appear to be blessed, or blessed in the way we define it. We need to think of blessings as being, first of all, relational. Blessings come from a loving God who desires to keep us in a right relationship with Him. And in order for us to understand this, we have to be in a right relationship with God. We must obey His commands and follow His will. in return for God's blessing. That should be the desire of our lives, to live in the manner that God has commanded. And we also need to think of blessings as being covenantal. All throughout the Old Testament, blessings are related to a covenant. Now, there's a difference between a contract and a covenant. A contract is an agreement between individuals of equal standing. In a contract, both parties agree to an equitable deal, right? I can make a contract with someone for a job, right? You come do this work, you get paid this amount of money. Contract between equal people. We can have a contract to sell a house, a contract to sell a car. There's a lot of things we can do. Whereas a covenant is a special type of promise or relationship between a superior power and a lesser power. And God is divine. God is God, and we are his creation. A covenant between God and humans means that what God promises to us is greater in value than what we can give back. God gives us a lot, and we can only give back a little. That is not an equal contract. That is a covenant. You might say that a covenant is not an equitable situation. But if we break the covenant of God, we can lose his blessing and endure even greater consequences. Blessing is a state of being, and we must maintain that state of being. When we leave that covenant, disobey that covenant, there are consequences to that. You might remember that there was a covenant between Noah and God, a covenant between Abraham and God, or the covenant that Jesus referred to in the Last Supper when he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Again, something that's not equal. We also need to understand that the blessings are intended to give us purpose or direction. And that is exactly what we see here in this blessing. God blessed mankind, and by doing so, God has given us specific direction and purpose on how we are to be fruitful, how we are to increase in number, how we are to fill the earth, how we are to subdue it, and how we are to rule it. He just didn't give us free rein. It's yours. See you later. No. This is mine, I'm giving you authority, and this is how I want you to use my authority. In previous weeks of the creation story, we have seen that we have a special relationship with the earth, right? Because we were created from the dust of the earth, and we depend on creation to sustain our lives, right? Where would we be without food? Where would we be without oil? Where would we be without minerals and all the other things that we get from the earth? And we also have a relationship with each other, right? Because we're all image bearers. We're all descendants of Adam and Eve. We are called to love each other, right? Isn't that what the Bible says? And we need each other to fulfill what God has commanded us to do. Didn't say this is your world and not your world. He said this is for mankind. And we also have to remember that we have a special relationship with God as our creator. We are his creation and we are image bearers. We are called to love God above all things, right? We're called to love him with what? All our hearts, minds, soul, and strength. And everything we do to live fruitfully, everything we do to increase in number, everything we do to fill the earth, everything we do to subdue it, everything we do to rule it, should honor all three of these relationships. Do you see how that changes our perspective? The earth is not a place we should just rape for our benefit. We have a relationship to take care of the earth. We have a relationship to take care of each other, and we have a relationship to honor with God. And all throughout history, mankind has failed to honor all three of these relationships. We have failed to do things God's way. And just think of simple things like God said to increase in number. That sounds simple, right? Be fertile and have lots of kids. And with 8 billion people on the earth, I think we've done a pretty good job of filling it, haven't we? But he intended us to do it through the marriage union between a man and a woman. Did you know that in 1960, only 5.3% of children were born out of wedlock? Today, more than 40% of children are born out of wedlock. Studies show that fatherless children are more likely to suffer from psychosocial developmental issues, live in poverty, drop out of school, engage in school violence, abuse substances, and enter the juvenile justice system. All because we're not living out our call according to God's ways. And we could go on and on and on about all these other ways we don't do it God's ways. I think we get the picture, right? For the remainder of our time here today, I want us to drill down a little bit deeper about how we are to be fruitful, about how we are to multiply or increase in number. When we look at Noah, we see that God, after the flood, gave him the same blessing, right? It's just Noah and his family, and he says to them, as he did to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. Now, these terms, to be fruitful and increase in number, literally means be fertile and increase to the point of abundance. However, we are to do this within the terms of the blessing. Everything changed after the fall, right? Mankind failed to live within the terms of the blessing. Even after the flood, again, mankind failed to live within the terms of the blessing. And then we jump to the blessing of Abraham. In Genesis 12, he says, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. God made a covenant to make a nation through Abraham. This nation was the nation of Israel from his grandson's name. God gave the Israelites very specific laws on how to live in a right relationship with God. And God's covenant was to be their God, and they were to be God's chosen people. And the ultimate result of that covenant is that all peoples on earth would be blessed through Abraham. And as Christians, we believe that this was fulfilled through Jesus Christ. It is through Christ that we get a new picture of what it means to be fruitful and increase in number. It is through Christ that we get a new picture of what it means to be this kind of person. And it starts with John 3. Jesus replied, this talking to Nicodemus, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Well, how can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they can't enter a second time into the mother's womb to be born. And Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. So, of course, Jesus isn't talking about a natural means of birth, but a spiritual means of birth. And Paul, he writes this in 2 Corinthians. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. So in these two passages, we see these terms, born again, new creation. And as Christians, we can no longer read the passage to be fruitful and multiply without considering what it means to us today. Now, I'm not advocating we stop having children and literally living it out. But what I'm saying is that to be fruitful and multiply also has a spiritual meaning. Because in Matthew 28, Jesus said, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Now, if you read into that and compare it to that first blessing, it is scary how identical it is. It is a covenant of blessing and command here. In theological terms, Jesus is seen as the new Adam. So if you're ever reading a book about Christianity and you hear the term new Adam, Jesus is the new Adam. Jesus is the perfect image bearer. And what are we commanded to do as Christians? Jesus gives us the command to be fruitful and multiply. How are we to be fruitful and multiply? We are to go and make disciples. We are to go and help people be born again as a new creation. God's original blessing has been renewed and restored through this command to go and make disciples. Jesus gives the blessing of being with us as we do it. It's a covenantal relationship. I am with you. Here's your command. Go do it, and I will be with you. And we can only do this if we are a people who also live as a new creation. If we are a people that continually bear fruit, to be fruitful. From Galatians 5, we heard this earlier. "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other." Is Paul right? What is going on in our world today other than people biting and devouring each other? So how should we live? Verse 16 says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, live by the Holy Spirit, live within this new birth, this new creation that I have given you, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want." That's a very important verse. Because people think they can do whatever they want because God is a God of love and accepts everything. No, you cannot do whatever you want. He says, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Verse 19, "The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." When you love God, when you give your life to God, these conflicts will be in you, and you have to win these conflicts through the power of the Holy Spirit. If you do it on your own, you're going to fail. You do it by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can overcome. Verse 22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit, bearing fruit, is this: love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Do you see the correlation here to the blessing in Genesis? Right here in Galatians 5, we see how we are to be fruitful, how we're to increase the number, how we are to fill the earth, how we are to subdue it, and how we are to rule it. As image bearers, as God's representatives, we cannot live sinful lives against God. We need to live like Christ. We need to bear His image. We need to live out the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now imagine the difference in this world if we actually lived it out. We keep saying we want revival in this world. Revival has to start with us. And we as Christians need a revival. We need to step up. We need to live it out. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because what we see going on in this world is a rejection of God. The ugly, the hatefulness, the divisions, all of those things are ungodly. And imagine if we as Christians answered the Great Commission. What if we lived it out fruitfully and multiplied the number of Christians? And what if we brought to these troubled people, to these lost people, the message of love and joy and peace and forbearance and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control? Isn't that what we need in this world? Instead, people are full of pride. And they want to be right so much, they will even believe a lie to keep being right. And they'll spread the lies as if they are the truth, just to prove they are right. We can't join the world of ugly people. We are God's creation. And through Jesus Christ, we are born again. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are to have the chains of sin loosened and thrown away, and we are to live as images of God. And we are called to go out and be fruitful in all that we do to lead others to Jesus Christ. So you need to ask yourself, how are you going to go and live for God? Because I'll tell you what the world does not need is more Eeyores. You guys ever watch that? Remember that fun cartoon, right, with Piglet and Pooh and all those characters? And where was Eeyore? And I think a lot of Christians are like Eeyore. Wow, this world is bad. I don't know what to do. Would you buy anything from somebody like that? Could you imagine walking into the showroom getting ready to buy a brand new car? Well, this is a car. It's got four wheels and it'll get you where you want to go. Do you want the extended warranty? You'd be like, what? But if you walk in and somebody says, man, this is a wonderful car. This will meet all your needs. It's reliable. It's wonderful. It sits well. It rides well. All of the other things, right? That's what you want to hear. What do you think the world wants to hear from us? Right? Too many of us are pessimists. Right? I can't tell you how many times you walk in and you say, hey, how you doing? Well, I woke up on the right side of the grass today. Or you go, man, it was great to see you. better to be seen than viewed. No, because if you're viewing me in the casket, I'm in heaven. If I'm the other side of the grass, I'm in heaven. I've heard that place is pretty good. We shouldn't fear death. Charlie Kirk is in a much better place than this world. Now, I don't wish death on anybody. God has a mission for us. That's why we're not gone. That's why we are here. But we're to live joyfully. And we need to take this message of peace and love and hope and forbearance and forgiveness and grace properly into the world. And people need to say, wow, how can you stand the way the world is? Because I believe in Jesus Christ and I know that he has final victory. And everything that is old, everything that is evil, everything that is vile, everything that causes tears, everything that causes sickness is going to be wiped away and I'm going to live forever in God's glory. That's what people need to hear. We are to be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. Increase in number to the point of abundance. Most of you are sitting within 3 feet to 6 feet of space to your left or to your right. Are we filled with abundance right now? No. We should be filled with abundance and talk about planting another church or renewing some of the older churches. So ask yourself, how are you going to live with God or live for God? Like it or not, Charlie Kirk has opened up a lot of doors. I can tell you a lot of people, John, you're not alone, who had absolutely no idea who Charlie Kirk was on September 9th, but now know who Charlie Kirk is today. Charlie Kirk lived boldly for Jesus Christ. You may not agree with all of his messages. I don't agree with all of his political stances. I'll admit that. But undoubtedly, unashamedly, he loved Jesus Christ, and he believed that all people needed the love and the truth of Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus is about love. Yes, Jesus is about grace, but Jesus is also about accountability. And those who do not repent of their sins and turn away from them sins will be delivered to hell. That is the truth and the full gospel. We cannot preach a half gospel. We got to preach the whole gospel. But we need to do it with love and forbearance and kindness and peace and joy. You don't know what's wrong with the world? It doesn't have Jesus. You know what's wrong with people? They don't have Jesus. You know why they leave shopping carts in the middle of the aisle? Because they don't have Jesus, I'll tell you that. No, but for real, don't we look around and just see problem after problem? There's problems in our schools. The news right now is all about our school system and how the education is failing them. And our news is all about mental illness and problems. And in our news is problems between the left and the right. And we can't even agree on a budget. And we can't agree on this. And we can't even agree on saying somebody's death was tragic. That, my friends, is tragic. But we carry the message and the hope of Jesus Christ to lift people out of this mire, lift them out of this control, lift them out of this spiritual war that is dragging them down and dividing us. It is time for us to have a great awakening here. And it is time for us to lead another great awakening in this country and across this world. But you got to be willing to do like that song says, anytime, Lord, anywhere. Use me. I'll tell my story. I'll tell the story when I was in the depths of pain and anger and hatred and God lifted me up. I'll tell the story of great things that my wonderful children have done in the name of God. I'll tell you about the time that God carried me through post 9/11. When he said, you're going to leave your family and you're going to go across the world into dangerous places. People say, how did you do it? I had the peace of God. I feared nothing. Nothing. Because God lived in my heart. I survived cancer. I've survived lots of not fun stuff. Why? Because God, the grace of God, not by my power, not by my strength. I only stand here today because of the grace of God who said, I called you, you left me, shame on you. Listen, 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 listen. Okay, God, you got me. Come back to me. Love me. I have a calling for you. I have a job for you. I want you to preach. I want you to live. I want you to love. I want you to teach. And it is God's grace that brings us here today. It's God's grace that gives us love to love one another when they're in pain. It's God's grace that gives us joy and lifts us up. And it's time we are fruitful and multiply. So just leave here with an attitude of saying, God, anywhere, anytime, use me in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.